Evolutionary Now org, episode 603 coming your way. This is going to be a 2024 Trenbolone side effects and Carterine GW 501516 episode. So this is two of the best compounds out there. You've got Trenbolone, which is an anabolic steroid, of course. You've got Carterine, which is a SARM-like drug that a lot of you really like as well. And in this one, we're going to talk about how to use them together to help with trend side effects. This is going to be a really interesting one, one that nobody has ever done. No podcast has ever attempted to do this. It is going to be really a monster, and I have been really working hard on this one for sure. So trend, look, at the end of the day, there's no better steroid out there. If you want to cut, if you want to recomp, if you want to bulk, if you want to power lift, it can do it all. Just depends on how to use it, depends on how you react to it. Personal records. I've set both size personal records on trend. I've set strength personal records on trend. I've set physique. I look at myself in the mirror and flex personal records with trend. Trend is the absolute beast. I mean, we're talking about you walk into the gym, you throw three plates on the bench, and you warm up with three plates on each side on the bench. That is trend. That's what people experience with trend, who have experience, who built themselves up, hit a plateau, and then use trend. It really takes you to another stratosphere. And I have herniated disc, and I have torn rotator cuff to prove what trend does in the body. Because what trend does in the body is it makes you go beyond what you're capable of doing. And on the other side, you have Carterine. Carterine also helps you go beyond what you're capable of doing. When it comes to endurance, personal records, I've set personal records with endurance, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, using Carterine. When I was competing as an endurance athlete, I didn't know that Carterine even existed. It was a little bit before it had really become mainstream. But some of the guys I was going up against were probably using Carterine. And they were basically beating me because they were on Carterine. So Carterine is one of those, mobster, that we need to get an edge on our opponents. So both of these are things you need to get an edge on your opponents. Trenbolone, when you're watching a bodybuilding competition, if you separate the stage, you put the guys who are using Trenbolone on the left, and you put the guys who aren't using Trenbolone on the right, they might be using another steroid, whatever they're using. The people on the left are going to look better than people on the right, you know? Even though they both train hard, they both eat good, they both are on other steroids, or both on HGH, or both on insulin, whatever. But there's going to be a separation. So these are two that we absolutely love. Now, how can you use them together to mitigate trend side effects? That's what we're going to talk about on this podcast. Mobster?
Yeah, and as I've said on the forums and on this podcast, it's definitely a case of listeners, members of the forums, etc., 100% doing your research, because it's one of those I want to reach out and bitch slap you on the forum or whatever I first said, and I didn't realize I was going to have these side effects specifically when we're talking about trend, probably more than any other steroid out there, Steve. I mean, there will be, and we've talked about VAR pumps, and we talk about, you know, bloat on some of the wetter ones like Dynabol and so on and so forth. And again, it's almost, where did you get your information? Was it the back of a postage stamp? Because absolutely, the side effects are, they're kind of, I won't even say famous, it's infamous, Steve. And they're so well known as to be sort of almost a joke, you know? I mean, I'll get specifically into what they are, but so the situation is with those side effects. What can we do to mitigate the effects as much as we possibly can? The same as, for example, water retention on some of the wetter steroids, the pumps like we touched upon just now on Anavar and so on and so forth. What can we do to mitigate that? And as part of the research for the threads, et cetera, that we're going to associate with this podcast, you go online, you look, and you see again and again and again that GW keeps coming up as a way to enhance at least one specific aspect, Steve. Right. So look, guys, if you are overweight and you're using trend, you're not going to get the best out of it, and you're really going to struggle with the side effects. And I'm just going to list them very, very quickly. And this is without even, as Steve said, the aspect of making you so fucking strong that you can hurt yourself. Trend sweats. Literally, people get, for example, night sweats. And if you wasn't on trend, that would be pure hormonal. Night sweats for women that are postmenopausal is almost all hormonal. And it'd be an indication that you had some sort of flu bug or something going on. But trend sweats are kind of a thing in and of themselves. I've had strong man buddies who will be admittedly a higher body fat than a lean, ripped bodybuilder, obviously. And conversations like having to get up in the middle of the night, change a t-shirt, or change the sheets on the bed, or the girlfriend complaining. Trendsomnia is another one where not only have you got those night sweats waking you up, making you change those clothing and so on, but literally sort of affecting your sleep pattern and making it difficult, even sort of dreams that seem stronger somehow. We know, for example, and this is slightly off topic, that trend is one of two, I believe, steroids that they were shown in medical studies to actually affect the way that you think in terms of brain patterns and so on and so forth, giving in elderly users for medical reasons dementia-like effects, Steve. And you've got a bunch of others. I mean, literally, people sometimes just after pinning trend have an issue with what's called the trend cough, although there are particular reasons why that might be. So all of these side effects are well known. One which GW is absolutely going to enhance, Steve, is the cardiovascular impact that trend gives you. So as Steve said, and users out there, both bodybuilders and strength athletes, will say the same. Your want, your ambition, your drive, you call it whatever you like, never mind your innate strength, to lift heavier goes up on trend. But equally, your cardiovascular ability, any cardiovascular level, call it what you like, that you had before taking a trend is going to be less. It's going to be negated. It's going to be lower than it was before. And there's a few things you can do in terms of getting your cardio up to a higher than normal level as you use the trend, and then the trend's going to knock it back to your normal level. Like I've already said, being a lower body fat to get the best from it, and so on and so forth. But in terms of literally trying to get your daily steps in, row, get on the treadmill, whatever kind of cardio you like to do, even hill walking, Stephen. We've seen this with some of our members who get out on the trails, a little bit like myself at weekends. That hill that you climbed last week suddenly seems higher. That 5K that you do suddenly feels like 6K. And the GW will help you get back some of those losses that you've and of course, actually, not just the cardio, but the other aspects that I've already touched upon. It almost makes you feel like you're in better condition. That's we've actually done a recent podcast on just how you feel when you're using GW, and that's in an isolation and of itself. But it's going to help you get back some of those losses and actually assist as you get leaner, again with GW, some of the side effects that you would have with trend. Talk about that from your perspective as well, Steve.
So the way trend acts in the body, being so damn inflammatory, and one of the things that it does is PGF2A. It's a prostaglandin effect that it has in the body. So it's going to absolutely smash your endurance and your cardio to smithereens. So when you're using GW, GW is a PPAR receptor, and GW binds to the PPAR receptor and it recruits the coactivator PGC-1A enzyme. And that increases the expression of genes involved in the expenditure of energy. So it's changing the way your body goes into energy. So it's almost offsetting, almost, not 100%, but it's almost offsetting those negative cardio effects that you're going to get on trend. Now, some of you are listening to this, you're like, well, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm not going to go run 5Ks. I'm not going to run half marathons on trend. I'm using trend for the weight room. But it matters because when you do, you can get an Apple Watch or you can get one of those watches, those GPS watches, and strap a heart rate monitor to you and test out your heart rate when you're weight training. Someone like Mobster, who's right now, he's a powerlifter. He's been a powerlifter for years. You don't think his heart rate goes up when he does a set? Of course it does. Powerlifters' heart rate, some of you guys, even your max heart rate will get elevated Like your heart rate will go above your maximum heart rate. It's just as traumatic of an effect on your heart rate as it would be for a runner or a sprinter doing high intensity interval training. Because what happens is that's the interval training, that set where you're pushing yourself to that one rep or two rep max, your heart rate's getting elevated. And sometimes it's pushing that 90% number, and sometimes it's going to that maximum heart rate, which can be calculated, you know, depending on your age. Obviously, every year you age, your maximum heart rate will drop 1 point. But, you know, we see that in powerlifting. So even if you're just a powerlifter, even if you're a bodybuilder, when you're bodybuilding and you're doing 10 reps, 12 reps, 15 reps, 20 reps, you're doing drop sets, your heart rate gets elevated. At least it should be if you're pushing yourself as you should be on some of your workouts, or most of your workouts for some of you, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, if you just go in there and you just do like four reps, five reps at 40%, and you call it a day, then it's not going to happen. But if you're pushing yourself, you should get that. So if you're on trend, it's going to affect you negatively. So someone like Mobster, who's powerlifting, for example, and he's hitting 80%, 90% of his max heart rate on a heavy lift, and he's on trend. Well, trend does amazing job at helping break down those barriers for Mobster to get stronger, but it's also hurting his ability for his heart to get raised at 70%, 80%, 90%, and impairing his ability to push as far as he can. So if you're adding cornering now to the mix, whether you're a powerlifter, bodybuilder, or whatever, you're able to push more. You'll have more wind during your training. So it's going to help your training, and it's going to help your competition strength and your competition everything. And whether you're competing or not, it's going to help your workouts, even as you know, as a gym rat, by adding that cornering to offset those negative effects of the trend. So you're getting basically the best you can on a trend, and you're also not getting hurt at the same time with trend. So it works out beautifully. In fact, Monster, before we bring you in, there was a guy who posted the other day that he wanted to do CrossFit and he wanted to do trend. And everyone said, no, you can't do trend with CrossFit. You can't do trend with CrossFit. And I agree with that. It's not a good idea. But number one, the misconception people have is they think CrossFit is just a bunch of people running around a warehouse. And that's not what CrossFit is. CrossFit also is a lot of high intensity weight training, and it's powerlifting. I've been to CrossFit garages, and I've seen people literally doing snatch cleans over and over and over to the point where I'm cringing at the thought of the damage they're doing to their discs in the back. But the
The
point is,
form.
it's not just people running around the warehouse. A lot of it is also powerlifting and Olympic lifting. So using trend would be advantageous in that situation, but people were saying it wasn't. These are thinking, oh, okay, about running. But imagine doing the trend, like, okay, I'm gonna do the trend, and then you add in the GW. That's gonna offset a lot of factors. And that could be really something if you're like a CrossFit person, for example, and you're trying to bring up your strength, but you don't want to knock your endurance down very much. You're gonna knock down your endurance. It's not gonna offset entirely the effects trend has on your endurance again, but even if it does it only 40% or 50%, you're still going to be in really good shape because you're getting such a boost to your training, your weight training and resistance training. Go ahead, Mobster.
I mean, I'll start by saying, obviously, if you use either medication drug in isolation, then it's easy for us to say, oh, trend's a bad idea for CrossFit if you're not doing anything else. You should be fit already with CrossFit, fairly obviously. And the same thing would apply to GW. If you use it in isolation, would you as get many of the benefits? This is why we stack certain steroids and certain SARMs and so on and so forth, because we know that the synergistic effect, those two medications, three medications, whatever you're using in combination, will give a sometimes the synergistic effect is better than the singular drug. Sometimes it's just a boost where if you only use one, you'd get 60%, and if you use the other one, you get 60%. But the two together doesn't come to 120%. It might go up 78% in terms of your results. Something that Steve said earlier on, I made a note of, and I'm going to add to that as well, right? So one of the things I used to do And I would argue, in terms of my overall fitness and strength together, it was when I used to run pretty much every fucking day, Steve. I think I might have had Saturdays off. And I would run every single morning to work, 5 days a week. I'd run on Sundays a 10K. And I would run in, I think, one evening a week as well. So I'm running 7 times a week. And I think my total mileage was probably up around 30, 40 miles a week, something like that. And then certainly 20 plus. I was also doing Taekwondo, and I was also doing, I think, 3 weight sessions a week. And my resting heart rate in the morning was 38. That's literally, you sit up, you put your feet on the floor next to your bed, and you sit there for a minute, and then you'd get your heart rate and you measure it. Now, you guys with Fitbits, et cetera, that sounds a bit old school, but my resting heart rate was 38. Your ability to recover from weight training, running, whatever else, is an indication of your fitness. The quicker you recover, the fitter you are. It isn't just your breathing stopping, but it's your heart rate slowing down, blood pressure returning to normal, and so on and so forth. I absolutely guarantee what Steve said earlier on is correct. My blood pressure, I was holding my breath yesterday, Steve, while I was doing 350, 360 bench for reps for the whole 3 reps because it keeps me tight and I can do it. But one of the former PTs said you've gone purple, so it doesn't matter because, again, I know that my blood pressure returns to normal very quickly. And in fact, I've had it measured quite a few times over the last few years, and it's always been within range of where it's supposed to be, Steve. So that's kind of cool. And something else which occurred to me, and that's pretty much what we're kind of doing with these shows as well, when we talk about these combinations and how you can mitigate side effects of one and how you can get the benefits of the two together and so on and so forth. And when Steve was talking about CrossFit, I was reminded again, when you become serious, and you are serious because you're listening to this show, you're not just taking advice from your buddies at the gym and it's all completely random different advice, sounds like it's falling out of a tree or something, Steve. You're sitting down, you're doing research, you know about side effects, you know how to mitigate those side effects because you're listening to this show. And the phrase that I wrote down here, Steve, was learn from pros. When you get real serious, and I'm talking about professional competing, even as an amateur, you just someone that just wants the records, even if it's just winning your local gym competition, you're taking things more seriously than the average member, the average person that goes to the gym. So one of the things you can do is you can echo, mirror, call it what you like, the things that professionals do, whether that's more stretching, more yoga, more massages, making sure your rehab's on point, being obsessive about hydration and nutrition, all of these things. That's what a professional does. They literally live in the lifestyle from when they get up in the morning to when they go to bed at night. And that's how they become world record breakers and so on. So when we do these shows, we're trying to give you the best information possible based on years and years of not just our own personal experience, but experience of other people that have used Trend, other people that have used GW, and to get that information into a way that you can understand and use so that you get to do these things. Right. So for example, Steve, even if we were just talking about Trend in isolation, an obvious thing would be, are the side effects worse if you take more Trend? Yes, that's kind of sensible, which is precisely why, Steve, when we do these shows, we're always talking about 300 milligrams, maybe 350 milligrams of Trend a week, rather than 400, 500, or 1,000 milligrams. Because the obvious thing is, it's only so much GW do. GW would be absolutely fabulous, fabulous, Steve, at the right dosage with a lower dose of Trend versus have 20 milligrams of GW, which is the optimal amount, and taking 1,000 milligrams. It's obvious you're going to have more problems. And like I said earlier, if you're not doing cardio, you should be. If you are overweight when you're using Trend, you will get better benefits if you've got a lower body fat, and so on. And sometimes the information as it's given, especially in the reply on the forums or whatever else, it's ignoring the fact that there might be other things that we need to keep in mind. So make sure that you're doing those things as well. An obvious thing here, Steve, I mean, and I'm just looking at some of the positives for GW right here. Increasing good cholesterol, how, while decreasing bad cholesterol, how Steve knows this because he's more kind of a blood test expert, so to speak. And that is where we know, because we've seen these blood tests. Hell, I wouldn't even consider myself an expert, and I know that I've seen the numbers of the cholesterol, the bad going up and the good going down on people's blood tests when they're just on a steroid stick, never mind on Trend. Trend will, it's going to be way worse. So you want something that's going to help you with that. What I've just touched upon, Steve, GW has a positive impact on blood pressure, decreasing the excesses of blood pressure. And again, just literally the way that it acts and works, and of course the reason why it was developed, is going to be part of that process in the original intention that's going to aid you. Because again, look, what's the classic steroid user look that people used to talk about years ago, Steve? It was always kind of angry looking, but it wasn't necessarily because they were angry as such, although that was sometimes an issue in terms of how they felt on androgens. But it was also sometimes that kind of slightly flushed face look, which was two things. It was the blood pressure and, of course, kind of like, you know, humping the weights around and whatever else. And you go, and then we weren't even getting into the oily skin and the acne or whatever else. But it was one of those things that we used to see a lot. Now, funny enough, I think as we've become more informed, and because we're better at mitigating the side effects, we actually see less of that. People are more aware of looking after their skin and so on and so forth. So again, this is the stuff, right? You need to know, and you're listening to the show, so you're going to know about the side effects, about what you can do just in your training, your nutrition and your cardio and so on and so forth. And then if, for example, Steve, you start to creep out of the 300, 350 milligrams a week, making sure that you don't suffer from any of the additional side effects. Talk about the actual specific benefits, Steve, you think that you would have with GW. And I mean, I believe you've used both, but not at the same time. So your experience is more on GW trend, which of course you've already explained.
No, I've used them. Yeah, I've used them definitely together. I
okay,
once, yeah. Once I figured out, you know, that they both work so well, I definitely used trend and GW together. Yeah. But I can tell you just personal experience, you could try it out. You can do a cycle. And you can run half the cycle without GW and run half the cycle with GW on trend. And you'll notice the differences when you run them together versus not. And, you know, you really touched it across the heart. Now, because something is so damn inflammatory in the body, it's going to strain the shit out of your heart health. And GW, because it is a PPAR agonist, because we see studies, what it can do, saturated fatty acids in the heart by inducing autophagy. GW helps with that. We're seeing ER stress, inflammation, insulin resistance, and skeletal muscles by activated AMPK. We have studies that show this. We know people who have done it. We know that doesn't. Insulin resistance. Trend will increase your insulin resistance. The more you use it, the higher the dosage and the longer you use it, the more it will increase your insulin resistance, and GW will not. So we're talking about insulin here, insulin resistance and insulin sensitivity, which is something that makes meatheads' brain explode because they don't want to talk about that stuff because they don't want to believe in it. They want to believe that, yeah, I just eat 500 grams of protein every day and eat tons of food and go work out and stick my ass full of trend and everything will fall into place. But then when they get later on in life, how many of them end up type 2 diabetics, you know, and that's a reality. And in the short run, increasing your insulin resistance is not a good thing. It will make it harder for you to burn fat. It will make it make you more likely to want to eat every hour or two. You know, oh my God, I got to eat something. I got to have carbs. I got to have sugar. It makes you basically a sugar addict and carb addict and makes you crave certain foods that are not going to be good for you. Okay. Not that carbs are bad for you, but bad. There's difference between good carbs and bad carbs. And we know this. We listen to this podcast, you know, that brown rice and sweet potatoes and vegetables and fruit, those are good carbs. But then the bad carbs are the things you're going to start craving. The way trend affects dopamine in your brain, your reward centers, you're going to be craving certain foods that you shouldn't want. You know, restaurant food, fast food, cake, ice cream, cookies, you know, the refined sugars, all this stuff. GW helps because it helps increase insulin sensitivity, while trend does the opposite when it comes to increasing, which what trend will do, increasing insulin resistance. That's a big little hidden gem there that you have to be aware of. HGH as well, Mopsir. HGH, growth hormone, also, when you abuse growth hormone, it also increases insulin resistance. But people don't want to know that. They just want to know, yeah, I'm just going to stick my ass full of Tren and HGH. And I'm going to be a pro bodybuilder. They don't know the negative side effects that it can do. So GW will offset that and it'll help you when you come off of the Tren. It will help you because now your body isn't stuck in that insulin resistant mode where you're going to get that boomerang effect that is dreaded coming off of Tren. How many people do we know they get on Tren? All right, we see their social media pictures, and then they post a picture of themselves on social media. They are ripped to shreds when they're on trend. Then 2 months later, you see pictures of them, and they look like shit. What happened? It's the boomerang effect. That's the dreaded boomerang effect of trend, where you look fantastic when you're on it, and you look like shit 2 months after. Because, and if they had run GW, that would have not happened. To that extent, you're not going to look your best 2 months after trend. You're going to look your best, obviously, toward the end of a trend cycle. I'm not denying that. But what I am saying is you can keep more of your results when you're using GW because of that whole insulin resistant issue that trend comes with. So there's many factors that help you. Now, when it comes to, Monster, you brought up the heart, the blood pressure, the cholesterol is huge. Try running Tren without GW and then run Tren with GW. You'll notice your cholesterol levels are improved because GW helps with cholesterol levels. We know that. When they were studying GW originally, that wasn't their intent necessarily for it to have that kind of benefit, but they noticed that benefit when they were doing it. They noticed that it helped with type 2 diabetes as well. And that ties into the insulin resistant thing I was talking about. So, Mobster, we have a couple minutes left. There's so much we can cover on this topic, but look, the bottom line is 20 milligrams a day of GW with Tren is going to be an absolute weapon. And you can use it the whole way from literally day one till the end. And it really, really does make a difference. I strongly recommend you definitely look into this and consider doing it on your next Tren cycle.
Yeah, I'll just touch on one thing, guys. I know that for some people, and specifically because of these nutrient partitioning effects, that trend sometimes allows you to eat crappy food and still get great results. And I think Steve has even said, he said it's literally seen examples of people eating fast food, burgers, et cetera, and still getting great results. So, and the only issue again, specifically when Steve talks about insulin resistance, is it's allowed you to eat shit and get good results versus you eating amazing, proper quality, organic, fresh fruit and vegetables, et cetera, locally sourced, and getting the fucking best results you ever would. And then put that up against the idea that you're able to do something like that when you come off cycle. No, you got out of shape eating shit. Eating shit and then taking Tren kind of got you into shape. Eating properly, cleanly would have got you into greater shape. And when you come off, you will still retain some of that great shape versus going back to your same habits, which you haven't changed, and eating crap. So, as with any of these podcasts that we do, the best results will come from low dose Tren, 20 milligrams a day GW, enhancing your cardio prior to the Tren cycle, just to, if you do lose some cardiovascular ability, it's only going to be back to close to where you was before. Understand that you might lose a little bit anyway, and in the moment you come off Tren and do your PCT, working on your cardio too. Again, same at the kitchen table, same with the fridge and freezer meal prep, better nutrition, better results. All of these things, of course, is because we want to go out there and kick ass. We're not doing this podcast. Steve and I don't train. The listeners aren't training because they don't give a fuck. They want to go out and kick ass. And we want you to get the best results you possibly can. Let us know what you think about using GW and Tren together in the comments, on the forums. Check us out. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.